Well, don't you ladies love Christmas music? I know that I do. Well, many of you in this room, including myself, God is taking on a new adventure. Part of that adventure is today. Our first West Side Community, West Side Community Women's Christmas Dessert. Well, yeah, yay. Praise God. It's all him. God wants to speak to us, and not always in a loud, booming manner or a loud, booming voice. He does sometimes, but that's not always the way he speaks. I find more often he speaks in a whisper or a very small, everyday way. Last week, God gave me a verse from 1 Kings 19:11, and I felt I would share it with you tonight. "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him, and Elijah stood there. The Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper, and the Lord was in the whisper. I'm sharing this with you as a reminder. God has something for you tonight. Actually, he has something for you in your life and in your everyday walk. But we have to learn to tune our ear to him. We have to listen for it. So I just wanted you to say in your heart, prepare yourself for the message. I actually don't know what they're speaking about tonight. I know the theme, and that's all. But I've been praying with a lot of other ladies who have been praying, and I can't wait to see what God's going to do. So it's my pleasure to introduce our first speaker. And we came to know each other, 3 or 4 years ago. Through women's Bible study, and I have truly enjoyed getting to know her. She has a no beating around the bush style. I can tell her what I'm struggling with. She listens. She calls it what it is. She gives me her response, and most importantly, she backs it up with scripture and then says, "Now move along." I love that she challenges me the way that she does. I'm a better woman for it. And something else, and I forgot it. She always directs me to the Lord. I don't know about you, but I need realness. I need frankness in my life. And I'm sure that's what we're going to get this evening. So please welcome with me Diana Salazar.
Well, I brought everything. I am not a professional speaker or a speaker, so I brought my notes. I brought my iPad just in case. But thank you so much, ladies. It's an honor for me to be speaking here tonight. You guys all look so great. This place looks great, and I'm so thankful to the Lord for all of you, and thank you for Pastor Bill for letting us have this time here, and for all of you, all the ladies that helped serve, all the ladies that helped out. This looks beautiful, and I'm very thankful for that, and thankful for this time that we're getting together, and for the joyous occasion that it is to be celebrating our Savior. Amen? So let me pray for a little bit, because I am a puddle of a nervous wreck up here. All right, join me. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity. God, Lord, it's such an honor to be here before you, before these ladies, Father, just with the opportunity to speak into their lives. I know, Lord, that there is much you want to speak to our lives, much you want to say. And we just want to tune in our ears, like my sister was saying, tune in our hearts, our minds, to what you have to say to us. I pray you would just speak through me tonight. Let your Holy Spirit be upon all of us, Lord, because we all desire you very much. In Jesus' name. So let me get settled here. Let's see. Turn it on. So as I was saying, it's a joyful occasion to be here celebrating our precious Lord, because he came many, many years ago, and just to show us a way back to the Father, to the heart of the Father, into his very presence, and with his Holy Spirit leading us inside. Just, wow, it just amazes me. I'm so thankful. Now, some of you may not know this, but I just mentioned it here briefly that I'm a bit nervous. I'm scared. I'm hot. I'm cold. I'm hungry. And it's not menopause, but in a nutshell, I'm completely out of my comfort zone. But nonetheless, when given the opportunity to spread the gospel, I will say I'm here. So the theme for tonight is in his presence, there is fullness of joy, Psalm 16:11. I absolutely love this verse. It challenges me. It helps me to seek the Lord more. It moves me to have more desire for him. And, isn't that what we all want? To have more desire for him than for anything else that this world has to offer. And you know what? We all want to have that joy, that unspeakable joy that he speaks of. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. But you know what? What is joy? Joy, according to Merriam-Webster, is a state of completeness, a fully content and satisfied person. But nothing on this earth will ever give us true completeness, because we were created in his image. So we need his filling, his alone, to be completely satisfied. Nothing else can provide it. No amount of love from friends or satisfaction from material things or any other kind of accomplishments will ever compare. They just simply pale against what the Lord can do in our lives. To kind of give us an idea, which you all surely have been satisfied in one way or another, think about that most blissful moment in your life. There, finally, it came on. That blissful moment, perhaps it was, I don't know, a piece of chocolate. It was a very good chocolate. I once had a piece of chocolate that was so good. The first time you dated your husband, he came to the door, and he saw you for the first time, and you floored him. You look so good. And you said, yeah, I got it. He's hooked. That made me feel really good, right? Or that satisfaction when you felt that, you're pushing out your baby and holding your baby in your hands. That's a pretty major one in my book. Or losing all the weight and fitting back into those jeans. I'm still working on that one. But you get it. It's complete satisfaction, complete bliss. Well, and what I'm bringing here tonight is I want us to understand complete joy, complete bliss when we come before the Lord. As I was preparing for tonight, somebody taking time? Okay. As I was preparing for tonight, I actually had all month long I was chewing on what the Lord wanted me to speak about, and so I prepared. I prepared all month long, and about 3 days ago, as I was finally downloading all the information, organizing and framing it, I heard a very gentle whisper, and he said, "Scratch it all, start all over." And I said, "What? Oh, that's just me. It's my insecurities. Scratch it all." So I was like, all right, if this is what you want, I'll start all over. And I had a lot of material from all these years of writing in my journal. I got it here. But But I didn't want to do my own will. I wanted to do the will of the Father. And you know what? God wants to pour himself out to us on a daily basis. He wants to be our portion. The question is, are we diligently seeking him? Are we lifting our hands, our voices to him to receive our portion? Do we lift up our voice and our hunger to him? Do we call after his name? Because we long for him, but sometimes our actions and our thoughts don't follow or don't align with what he says of us. Isn't that right? I'm guilty. Instead, we align our thoughts and our actions with how we feel and how we habitually respond the same old way because it's safe. That's what we know. That's what feels good. We know the process. We know what comes next. It's our security blanket. Well, the verse that the Lord brought to my attention, it's an actually really interesting one, but let's read it. It's in Luke 5:4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." Now, I know you didn't come here to learn about fishing. I don't know anything about fishing. But these words came round and round in my head until finally they sank down into my heart. And I could hear these words over and over and over again. He said, "Come deeper. Come deeper." I said, "Okay." The Father wants to draw us to himself on a daily basis. We need closeness. We need to tune in our senses to him and tune out the noise of the world. Our worries, our anxieties, our insecurities. Isn't that what Philippians 4:6 says? Be anxious for nothing, right? I think we need to believe him more. I think we need to trust him more. But how do we go deeper? Well, here's an invitation for you. Let's go fishing. The verse is about fishing, literally. I thought, all right, Lord, I know nothing about fishing. I don't think it's going to go down well when I tell these ladies, I'm going to tell you 8 steps on how to go fish. But guess what? I'm going to give you the 8 steps on how to go fishing for beginners. Number one, you tie your hook to the line. Number two, you attach your thingamabobbers, their weights. You bait your hook, you cast your line. You ready for this one? Number five is you wait quietly. Now, I don't know about many of you, but I cannot wait quietly. My mind has to be going in all directions, or I need to be engaged in a conversation. I need to be doing something. I can sleep and be quiet. That I can do. My husband's done. But over the years, I've gotten a little bit better at it. Not perfect. But we are in a, I call it a microwave culture. We want it now. We want it all right now. And, you know, the Lord told Peter, come deeper, cast your nets. You know what? I'm not going to question it. I'm going to obey him. But as I was thinking about that verse and thinking about being out in the ocean and the depths and whatnot, I am not comfortable in deep waters. In fact, deep waters elude me. I don't want to do it. But am I going to trust the Lord, or am I going to want to keep on staying at the shore? Do I want to go out there and completely trust, or do I just want to do my everyday, react the same way? So now I had two things to deal with. Dealing with my fear that was going to keep me away from the Lord, or go deeper and wait quietly. This is seriously difficult. But here's where our faith and our hunger for him supersedes everything else that tries to stop you. But this is where we receive. The everyday experience is not going to be enough. This is where we receive the touch, the word, the joy, the peace, or whatever else you need from the Lord. When you go deeper, when I go deeper, when I begin to trust him more than I trust myself, in seeking the Lord with all our hearts, we seek him We wait on him. Now, this is way out of our comfort zones. I don't know about you, but completely 100%, this is it, Lord, take me. Don't take me to heaven yet, but just, you know, do something with me. You know, this is out of our comfort zone. This whole Peter talk about come out into the water. I mean, I sometimes wonder, what would I have done if Jesus said, come out into the water? And I think, I would probably pretend I didn't hear him. Or worse, just like, I don't know, something. I don't think I would have been that bold like Peter was. But you know what? It's about risk. What are we willing to risk to touch the hem of his robe, like the woman with the bleeding for 12 years? Mark 5:25-27 says, a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gone worse. She had heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. So she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. She took a risk, and Jesus healed her. So what do we need tonight? Peace? Healing? Any other kind of miracle? But how uncomfortable do we want to get? In the depths, you have a non-visual target. You are just going by faith. This is exactly where God wants us. Totally and 100% relying on him, because it is here, only here, that we can practice and learn how to perceive his presence. Now, when we are in a place where we are no longer listening or hearing the waves crashing at the shoreline or the noise from the beachy areas, we are away from that area into the depths. This is the place where we can quiet down and worship and engage all of our senses. For example, one day I had a pretty big fight with my husband many, many years ago. But I felt very lost and alone, not realizing that God had provided already for everything. He was present with me regardless of how I felt. While I was sulking and feeling unsure and anxious inside, my husband was worshiping. After a fight, he was worshiping God. I could always see him after an argument. He'd go out and just worship God, and I would say, how could you do that? How could you just go and worship God? And what I wanted to do, I wanted to sulk. I wanted someone to feel sorry for him. I wanted a pity party. I wanted everything my emotions were screaming for at that moment. And isn't it true that all of our senses are engaged when you want that pity party, when you want to sulk, when you want to have, you know, just put all your emotions out there? Years later, I understood the power of worship. But that day, I went to my prayer room and I asked the Lord to help my unbelief. I didn't want to live my spiritual life the way I had. I didn't want to be at the shore anymore. I wanted to go deep. And God reminded me, Diana, I am omnipresent. I am with you everywhere you go. So I said, Lord, what does this mean? It took me to Psalms 139:27, and David speaks, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. Even the night is as bright as day. Darkness and light are light alike to you. So basically, what David is saying here is that God's presence couldn't be eluded through space, speed, or darkness. Nothing in the universe can hide a person from God. Deuteronomy 4:39 says, so remember this and keep it firmly in mind. The Lord is God both in heaven and on earth, and there is no other. God is everywhere present. So now we know God is omnipresent. Next is, he indwells in us. His presence is in us. And there are several verses that I can talk about the triune God indwelling us, Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Christ lives in us, and he gives us assurance. The living God is in us, and he lives with us. When we confess Jesus is the Son of God, the Holy Spirit leads us to all truth, and then he lives in us. And finally, the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires is something that the Holy Spirit does. So imagine that. My conclusion is, do I want to stick to my human desires, or do I want the presence of God? Do I want to understand it? Do I want to engage all my senses? A.W. Tozer says, and this is one of my favorite authors, it is for increasing degrees of awareness that we pray. For a more perfect consciousness of the divine presence, we need never shout across the spaces to an absent God. He is nearer than our own soul, closer than most of our secret thoughts. So we know he's omnipresent, he dwells in us. And the next one is his manifest presence. We have five senses, ladies, five senses. Can you help me? Hear, see, smell, taste, and touch. So maybe you can add, maybe you'll ask, what is the difference between the two and the third and the manifest? I'm confused. Well, the difference is the first two is a universal law. That basically means whether you recognize it or not, whether you perceive it or not, God is everywhere. God is omnipresent, and he will indwell in us when we confess Jesus. So the manifest presence is perceived with your senses when we open ourselves to heaven and begin creating a lifelong habit of spiritual response to God. Imagine your three-part being, your spirit, your soul, your body. You can actually experience God physically. And when you do, this is the unmistakable interaction of our Father with us. Adam, Moses, David, Abraham, Elijah, Mary, all the disciples, they all experienced the manifest presence of God. So why can't I? Why can't I have that experience, that manifest presence? You know, when Moses saw him in the burning bush, that was a manifested experience of the presence of God. And I find it very interesting that he valued the presence of God so much that he said in Exodus 33:15, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. In the NLT, it says, if you don't personally go with us, personally. So, God's Son also manifested himself because the Word became flesh. The Holy Spirit manifested himself in the upper room. So when you have this type of encounter with the Lord, your world is going to turn upside down. And let me tell you, we're not going to be sitting a lot. We're going to be out there preaching the Word of God. We're going to be out there preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not going to have time to sulk. We're not going to have time to have a pity party. We're not going to have time to engage all our senses in whatever's going on in our lives, because we're going to be anxious to do the will of our God. So, as I searched his presence more and more, this week I said, Lord, okay, you're going to teach me how to fish. Okay, let's do this. I said, please teach me. Please show me. Please touch me. As I've done many, many times before, I've gone to my prayer closet, and I've stayed there, and I said, I'm not going to get up until you touch me, you speak to me, you give me a word, something. I need to physically, perceive you. And the next thing I knew is I found myself in a fetal position in a pool of tears. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes God touches you in such a way that all you can do is just curl up and say, my Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. And he's so, so good, so sweet that you can almost taste that. And you don't want to get up. You can sense it. All your senses are at 100%. Talk about sensory overload right there. at 100% and you're like, I don't want to leave here. I don't want to move here. This is what I want. A lot of times when this happens, you are empowered, whether it be because you feel God's peace, whether you cry, or whether it's like my sister said, with a loud boom, whatever it may be, you will be empowered. I want to share just a very little testimony. 20 years ago, I got saved. That encounter changed my life, my completely. Soon after I had that encounter, I was on fire. My mom got saved, my dad, my sister, my brother, friends got saved. I was preaching the gospel. I spent days in my room enjoying his very presence. I would write, I would sing. I can't sing, but I would sing and worship all day long. I would forget to eat at times. I would lie face down, flat on the floor, because his presence was so precious. I couldn't even lift up my face. But there I was in his holy presence, and I could hear him speak to my life. And I never wanted to leave that room because I felt such unspeakable joy and peace. And I want nothing more than to have that on a daily basis. You know what? If I have to be on my face daily because the Lord is visiting me, then so be it. Let's do it. I believe this is what David is saying in Psalm 16:11. There is fullness of joy in your presence, total completeness that propels you to move as you see God moving. We will know him in increasing degree as our receptivity becomes more perfect by faith, love, and practice. Once this happens, we become aware. We start perceiving. We expect him to show up. I do. Everywhere I go, in my downtime, when I'm at a restaurant, in my thoughts, in divine appointments. Hello, don't we all love those divine appointments? When we get an opportunity and we're at the perfect time, perfect place, and somebody shows up and bam, she's ready for Christ. Or he's ready for Christ. You know, this is worshiping from the depths of the human soul, and it's deeper than any human emotion. So let's go fishing with the Lord. Value spending time with him, with our Heavenly Father, more than we value spending time with other things. Let's get ourselves ready to experience him in ways we haven't done before. He will show up, and we don't know how. It'll be a boom. It'll be a sweet aroma, maybe. It'll be in many shapes, in many ways, in many forms. Because one day, our fleshy desires will be no more, but the presence of the Lord will be forever. And let me just remind you here, once you have quieted yourself down enough that you can perceive his presence, then let's follow step 6 through 8 on that fishing list for beginners. We're going to hook. We're going to pull, we're going to lift it up, and we're going to reel it in, whatever it is you need from God. Bring your fish with a net. Bring in your fish with a net. That's what Jesus told Peter. Because you know what? Jesus has already provided for everything. Amen? Thank you.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, the next sister that I get to introduce, well, you know it's Anna, it's on your program. I think I've known her 15, 20 years. I'm not sure of the exact number. She is a gentle and quiet soul. I see her as the calm in the storm, and it is evident by being with Anna that she loves Jesus. She loves her husband and her family. She is an auntie to many children, and her laughter is contagious. There is a serious side to Anna. She feels deeply and can keep a confidence. I see her faithfulness in so many areas of her life. She is always welcoming and supportive. And lastly, she makes the best scones of anybody I know. Please welcome Anna Sapp. Good evening, ladies. Can you hear me? Oh, it's so nice to be here. I'm so blessed to see all your faces, and I hope you're enjoying the evening so far. Before we begin, let me pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your presence here. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for all these ladies who have come here to just fellowship with one another, to enjoy a nice evening, but most of all, to just enjoy the richness of your presence here tonight. Lord, allow us just to soak in your presence as we hear from you, Lord. Thank you, we love you, we praise you. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified in this place tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight, the theme for this evening is in your presence or in his presence. And it's found in Psalm 16:11, which I will read to you. It says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And tonight, I just wanted to share with you what it means to be in his presence, how to be in his presence, and why we need his presence. The word presence in the literal translation, which means face, of having an intimate encounter with the Lord. God's face is shining down on his children because he longs to be with us, desires to reveal himself to us. When we say that God is omnipresent, it means that he is everywhere at once. But I want to talk about his manifest presence, which means how he makes himself known to us in a very real and personal way. So how can we experience him with us now? He is able to make himself known to us by his manifest presence when we take time to know him, to acknowledge and thank him, to worship him, and to follow after him. Do you desire to live in his presence and have an experience of fullness of joy? To be in God's presence is to walk daily of his awareness and obedience because we belong to him. Walking with the Lord is synonymous with how we live our lives for him. Remember in Genesis how Adam and Eve had the presence of the Lord with him daily in their lives? They experienced a face-to-face experience and fellowship with the God Almighty. They enjoyed God every day of their lives. But then, when they sinned, they hid from his presence because they knew what they had done was against what God had originally told them. They took their eyes off of the Lord, and they looked to what seemed more appealing to them at the time. As we acknowledge each day what and who God is and fear his holy name, we thrive on pleasing him by how we behave, such as in our attitudes and our choices that we make. If you want to be in his presence, simply look to Jesus. Spending time alone to be with the Lord is such a precious thing. And as we take time to meditate on his word and to call on his name in prayer, he begins to reveal things to us and makes himself known to us in ways we wouldn't have ever experienced. Jeremiah 33 says, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Prayer is where we feel the Lord's presence so closely because we can pour out our heart and soul to the one who knows us best. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be quiet and still before the Lord, leaving all your distractions behind." The Lord wants to be present in our lives individually and personally, as well as corporately within the church, the body of Christ. The Lord desires to fill his church with his presence. Just as he is the bridegroom and we are the bride, he loves his bride, and he wants to fill his bride with an overwhelming sense of his presence every day. In Matthew 18:20, it tells us, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." We are in God's presence this evening. One of the ways we can be in his presence is by thanking him. We just recently celebrated Thanksgiving, and although the feasting happens once a year, we as believers, we have the privilege of coming to him every day with a grateful and thankful heart because of what he's done for us. Thank him for who he is in your life and all that he's done for you. We have so much to be thankful for, don't we? Thank him for providing, protecting, comforting, and healing our lives, but especially for laying down his own life so that we may have eternal life. By giving thanks, we acknowledge who he is and are able to sense his presence. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And in Psalm 100, verse 4, it tells us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. And again, in Psalm 107, verse 1, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." Now, thankfulness leads to worship, and worship allows us to enter into his presence. Before we listen to a study each week, our worship team leads us into a time of praise and song and worship. And this prepares our heart to acknowledge God, to bring him adoration, to magnify his name, to give thanks to our great and mighty Savior, and to seek after him as we lay aside our distractions and make room for him so that we can enter into his presence. In Psalm 100, verse 2, it tells us to worship the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful songs. And in 1 Chronicles 16:29, it says, "Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come into his presence. Worship the Lord in all his splendor." Worship brings us into God's presence where joy lives. And joy in the presence of the Lord comes from knowing him personally and intimately. In Psalm 21:6, it says, "You have made him exceedingly glad with the joy of your presence." Notice here that God's presence is a source of joy. A settled heart, a state of confidence and hope, it is something or someone that provides a source of happiness. You, God, make me glad or happy from the joy of being in your presence. God is a reason for joy. And God is a reason for happiness. There's a worship song called Holy Spirit by Carrie Jobe. Some of you may know that. And the words are so fitting to what our theme is about. And I just wanted to read a few of the lyrics to you. I won't sing it, but it says, "Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness." Don't you want that? I certainly do. I want to be overcome by his presence, and I want to experience the glory of his goodness. In Psalm 16:11, we see three things that give us some insight to the way of experiencing this kind of joy. First, it says that you, God, will show me the path of life. And this path of life is found in and through Christ Jesus. He's the only way of life. In John 14:6, it tells us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him." No one comes to the source of joy, the Father's presence, but through him. He is the way to the Father. He is the truth about the Father. He gives the life of the Father. And in John 10:10, it says, "I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly." He gives us this abundant life. And in Acts 2:28a, "You have made known to me the ways of life." He makes us know the way of life. He shows us the way because he is the way. The reason for his coming was to give us eternal life and to spend all of eternity with him. In John 3:16, which is a verse that all of us, I believe, have memorized, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We enter this life through faith in Jesus. And this life of joy of happiness will go on forever and ever. Now, the second part of the psalm tells us that we have fullness of joy in his presence. A life with Jesus is a life that satisfies our deepest longing, which is to be in his presence. In Psalm 42, 1 and 2, it tells us, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. This word pants describes a longing and a thirst for God. And in Acts 2:28b, it says, you will make me full of joy in your presence. Now, Mary, the mother of Jesus, experienced his presence in a way that none of us have ever experienced. And that is physically carrying him in his womb, in her womb, and living with him for 30 plus years. And Matthew 1:23 tells us, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. But just as Jesus lived in Mary, Jesus can and live in us, his children. John 14:20 says, at that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And then in Ephesians 3:17, Paul's prayer for the Ephesians was that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. His name Emmanuel, which means God with us, should bring us much comfort and joy. To know that he is with us and walking alongside us through this life should cause us to continually be thankful and rejoicing that we have a Savior who desires to be with us. In Max Lucado's book, In the Manger, he tells of how Christ grew in Mary until he had to come out. Christ will grow in you until the same occurs. He will come out in your speech, in your actions, in your decisions. Every place you live will be a Bethlehem, and every day you live will be a Christmas. You, like Mary, will deliver Christ into the world. And like Mary, you and I are indwelt by Christ. In Galatians 2:20, it says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And here in Galatians 5:22, tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Christ living in me produces this love, joy, and peace, and flowing from me. Another person experiencing God's presence is Moses. In Exodus, Moses was asking for God's favor as they headed out to the promised land. In fact, Moses says, if you don't go with me, I'm not going. In Exodus 33:14, and he, God, said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Notice that God granted Moses' request. God was moved by Moses' faith, and God is moved by our faith as well. Be like Moses. Don't settle for less than God. God will draw near to you with his presence. David also experienced Lord's presence many times, especially in the difficult times. So what did David do? He sought after the Lord. He cried out to him. He remembered who God was and began looking to the one who can bring comfort in times of need. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. As believers, we can come to the Lord with confidence because of the finished work of Christ on our behalf. And in Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, it says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. What a comfort it is knowing that God is with us today. Amen. Imagine that the God of the universe and our Creator is here with us at this moment. Although we haven't experienced Jesus here in the physical realm, he's here with us in spirit. He has promised to send another helper. John 14:15-16 says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. That he may abide with you forever. Notice here he says, he will abide, he will live with you forever, his presence will be with you. And in John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Now, if you've known the Lord for a length of time, you know that one of the key things in how we can sense God's presence is abiding in him daily. John 15:5 tells us that I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. When we abide and connect in Jesus, he makes all things possible. We know him in a more deeper and intimate way. We begin to trust him and bear fruit, and we will sense an increase in his presence. We also need to be seeking his face each day. And Psalm 27:8 says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. And in Psalm 9:10, and those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. And in Jeremiah 29:13 tells us that you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. We need a daily abiding and a daily seeking so that we can enjoy our daily source of joy and strength. As Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So why do we need his presence daily? So that we could be filled with the Holy Spirit, so we can experience his power and to live a life for the Lord as he intended. And not only to experience his power, but to unleash it, to learn to trust him, to obey his word, to bear fruit, and ultimately be filled with joy. And this joy is available to us when we remain in Christ. Now the third thing we see in the psalm is that it's at God's right hand that there's pleasures forevermore. He takes pleasure in us. He delights in knowing we love to be in his presence and fear his name. He gives honor and authority to those who are his by lavishing us with his presence. In Psalm 149, verse 4, it says, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. And in Psalm 147, 11, the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. So are you longing for a greater nearness or presence of God in your life? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you, James 4 declares, 4:8. Sometimes we just don't feel God's presence. Isn't that right? But know that our feelings aren't the basis of God's presence, but by our faith in him. Mark 11:22, Jesus says, have faith in God. And in Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is a confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. On a personal note, as many of you know, this past year has been a time of drastic changes for my family and I. We've gone through some difficult transitions and have been wrestling with sensing God's presence or his direction and even his presence in our lives. This summer, my family, Bill, Sierra, and I, we took some time away in Texas for about a month to get away and to clear our minds. We needed to pray and seek the Lord and to ask for his leading and direction for what he had for us next. I had experienced everyday pain in my hands and fingers and in my left knee since the beginning of this year. It was difficult sleeping through the night and had to take over-the-counter pain medication almost daily. It was hard to focus and felt very far from God. I knew he was there, but his presence seemed so far off at the time. During our stay, we visited different churches. One in particular, called Gateway, was the one we visited often. And on this particular night, a man named Todd White was speaking. At the end of his service, he invited all who needed prayer to come forward. We had left right before that to pick up Sierra at a different campus where the youth were meeting. So on our way home in the car, we were able to listen live. He told anyone that had any kind of disease or health condition or pain to lift up their hands so he could pray for them. Bill told me to lift up my hands, and we prayed, asking for God to heal me. And as he was praying, I started to cry. Bill thought I was crying because he thought nothing had happened or maybe that I was disappointed. And all I could say was, it's gone. The pain is all gone.
And when we arrived back to the place where we were staying, I jumped on the bed to see if the pain in my knee was still there. It was gone as well. God had healed me. He made himself known to me in a very personal and intimate way. It was a sweet and precious moment where the Lord heard the cry of my heart. He revealed his presence in a time of desperation. He is my Emmanuel. He is your Emmanuel. Even if you can't feel him, he is present. In Psalm 145:18, it tells us that the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. God loves you and he wants to be with you. He delights in you. And the ultimate reason or the result of our presence of the Lord is joy. And this joy is the gift of his presence. It's an everlasting joy. And you can have this joy because he has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. And the reality of this kind of joy comes when we rest in God's presence. And this joy found in Psalm 16:11 is just a glimmer of what is to come when we see him face to face in his glory. Amen. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads as we pray, please? Lord, tonight, as Diana shared, or as I shared about the presence of God, maybe you've realized you've never experienced his presence in any real way. Or maybe you've realized you haven't experienced or entered into his presence before. He wants to bring you into his presence tonight. He wants to have you have the opportunity to be filled with joy. If that's you, while everyone's eyes are closed and head is bowed, raise your hands and I would love to pray for you. Thank you. Or maybe you're here and it's been a long time since you've been in God's presence. Maybe tonight you've returned from being away from him and you're longing once again to experience him. If that's you, while everyone's eyes are closed and head is bowed, would you raise your hands and I'd love to pray for you. Well, Lord, we thank you that you are a real God. Thank you, Lord, that you want to make yourself known to us in a very real way, to real people. I pray for anyone here, Lord, that has never given their heart to you. I pray that you would reveal yourself to them. And, Lord, that you would allow them by faith to enter your presence. Forgive us, Lord, of our sin. Cleanse us. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus to die for our sins. And for any of the sisters who have prayed that they want to come closer to you, Lord, I just pray that they would just experience your presence in a fresh new way. Lord, that your love and your grace would abound in their lives. Father God, and that we thank you, Father, that your word tells us that if we draw near to you, Lord, you will draw near to us. Thank you, Lord, for the grace and the love that you give to us. Thank you, Lord, for your promises and your presence here tonight. Lord, bless us as we go from here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace. In Jesus' name.